Ephesians chapter 6 this evening in your Bibles, please. Ephesians chapter 6. I've entitled this, Protecting Your Life. I said this morning I want to preach a message that I believe is probably one of the most important ones I've preached in all of the ministry. And I believe it's important. I believe it's life and death matter. And in Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 1, it says this, Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Watch verse number 3 now, that it may be well with thee, thou mayest live long on the earth. I want to preach tonight on the importance. I don't know if I'll finish the whole thing, all of it tonight, but I want to preach tonight the importance of honoring your parents. I believe it is the most important message, one of the most important messages a man can preach. I believe it is protecting your life when you honor your parents. And I want to preach that this evening and show you what God thinks about it, and then talk about how you can honor your parents. Father, we come to you tonight, Lord, thankful, Father, for your word. Lord, I believe there's a great importance, Father, upon honoring parents. And Father, I pray that you would help us tonight to see the importance of that from your view. And God, would you bless now tonight our church family? Would you help me as I teach and preach, Father, the word? And Lord, may you be exalted, Father. We ask this in your name. Amen. God places a high priority on how we treat our parents. Let me just say an introduction. The Bible says that when we honor our parents, God says that's the first commandment with promise. I'll repeat that probably later on in the message. But it's the very first commandment in the Ten Commandments that God gives a promise with. And God said, if you honor your parents, it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. We as Americans have short memories. And sometimes we forget that our actions have consequences. Years later, it has consequences. And I've often wondered in my life, as I've been a parent and I've dealt with things in my life, I've often wondered if some of the heartaches I have faced in my life is because of how I behaved myself as a young person. Sometimes we disconnect that, but God connects it. God connects it. And there's actions that there's consequences that God attaches to how we treat our parents. And sometimes I've looked at people and I watch people, and it seems like they're doing everything just right, but yet they have struggles in their life, and they have problems in their life. And I wonder, not out loud, but I wonder to myself, I wonder if some of this is consequences of how young people have treated their parents through the years, and now God has said, all right, because of that, we think we have this idea that if we sow today, we're going to reap tomorrow. And it will be tomorrow, but it might be tomorrow years later. And so tonight I want to encourage that God places a high importance on honoring your parents. And when you honor your parents, you protect your life. Now, again, that might seem old-fashioned. It might seem, well, that's the preacher just going off on a tangent again on something else. But young folks, if you could just get past some of your stubbornness and blocking the Word of God out and just would relax just a little bit tonight and let me talk to you for a minute, you'll see tonight from God's Word that when you honor your parents, you set yourself up to succeed. But when you dishonor your parents, no matter what you do, you set yourself up for failure. Yep. Now watch this. God places a high priority in how we treat our parents. Come back to the book of Isaiah chapter number 3. And I'm sure I'll miss some. I'm sure tonight as I teach this that there's some verses that you'll think, well, why did he bring that verse in? I can't bring them all. And there's a lot of verses I can't bring in. But watch. So I want you to show you something here. In Isaiah chapter 3, I want you to notice with me verse number 12. I believe that we're seeing some of this take place today in our generation. Isaiah 3:12, the Bible says, As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err, and destroy the way of thy paths. I believe that the Word of God very plainly teaches that when a generation forsakes God, and refuses to walk in his ways and to heed to his word and no longer practices the word of God, that God says the result of that is children become the oppressors of men. And that women rule over them, and that these oppressors and these rulers will cause, these will lead the nation out of the way of the path of God and cause a nation to err. I know that every generation has their own problems. I know that my generation was not a perfect generation. You know, every generation thinks that we're the perfect ones, and it's our kids now that have changed things. But we have for years seen our nation change generation after generation. And it seems like your generation takes us farther away from the things of God. There's not one that can say, well, we were innocent in this matter. Even Socrates, I read a quote from Socrates that for 400 years ago, he was railing on the disrespect of children over 400 years ago and their lack of attention span when it comes to important things. But we find here that when a generation refuses to follow God, that children become their oppressors. I'm amazed at how much power young people have today in our nation and our culture. How much power that they have to change the direction of families. It seems like today, you know, we used to preach on, I used to hear preaching years ago about that, how the husband should be the head of the house and the wife shouldn't be the leader. But it's no longer mom and dad leading the home anymore. By and large, many times it's the children that are leading the home. And when the children squawk and cry, the parents bend and bow to the whims of young people. And so we find oftentimes ourselves in trouble. We see today's generation being raised that are angry, sarcastic, bitter, resentful, and refuses to the heed to authority. Look with me at Proverbs chapter number 30. Just turn back to the right, to the left a little bit. Proverbs chapter 30. In Proverbs chapter number 30, we read in verse number 11, the description of rebellious youth. Again, I'm not here tonight to point and to say that this is the worst generation. My generation had its own problems. We were not perfect by any means. But I think that there are some things that progress have gotten worse through the years. Verse 11 says there, in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 11, there is a generation that curses their father and doth not bless their mother. There's a generation that are pure in their own eyes that watch it and yet is not washed from their filthiness. There's a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes and their eyelids are lifted up. There is a generation whose teeth are as swords and their jaw teeth as knives to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men. We find that God describes that as our world gets worse and worse, that there'll be a generation of young folks that are unthankful and rebellious against their parents. Rebellion and unthankfulness are the signs of a wicked and ungodly generation according to the word of God. Generation that curse their father and doth not bless their mother. They are not thankful for what mom and dad have done. They rebel against their father's authority, rebel against the guide of their youth, and they are not thankful for all the sacrifices and the love of a mother. And by the way, it takes a hard heart, I believe, to curse father and mother. It takes a heart that's beginning to be calloused and arrogant to curse father and mother and not be thankful for what they have done. They are convinced, the generation here in Proverbs chapter 30, they're convinced they have done nothing wrong, that their ways are right. You can't rebuke them, you cannot correct them, that what they've done is right. But God says, yet they're not cleansed, they're not cleansed from the filthiness, they have not been saved, they have not been changed, they're not washed from their own filthiness. Their hearts are unconverted, and they're filled with pride and arrogance. I think one of the things that we've seen today among young folks is a level of pride and arrogance not seen before in any other generation. They're convinced in their own eyes that they're right, that no one can tell them what to do. And by the way, when I was a young person, it wasn't just your parents that could get on you. Anybody could get on you. There was no, you're not my dad. You're not my parent. You can't tell me what to do. And when you, if you said that, by the way, everybody in the church had permission to tan your hide. And there's always, by the way, not everybody would do it, but there's always one that would do it. All right, there's always that lady that would come by, grab by the nape of your neck and say, listen, I don't care what your parents say, you're getting a whooping and put the hurt on you. And now today, if you did that, you'd have parents suing you. Because now parents take the side of their teenagers over the side of authority. And by the way, that's your fault, grandpas and grandmas, because you taught us to question authority. Question authority! Remember that back in the 60s and 70s when you were having free love? Question authority! Question the rules! I understand there are some rules of authority that we ought to not just blindly follow, but now we got young folks questioning everything to the point where they disrespected the Word of God. And so, we see a generation being raised that's a little bit different. And I pray tonight that young folks don't look at me. I'm not mad at you, but I pray that you don't get caught up in that. We have this idea in America that every young person goes through a phase of rebellion. Show me where that has to happen. Why is the teenage years are marked by teenage years of rebellion? Who decided that? Who said that was okay? You're not going to find anywhere in the Bible. In fact, you'll find many examples where teenagers in the Bible. By the way, God didn't distinguish teenagers as teenagers in the Bible. They were young adults. We expect very little from our teenagers today, but in Bible days, in the Scripture, young adults were expected to act like young adults. Not this is your years of playing and messing around and being rebellious. There's no wonder why you have adults that can't keep a job, can't stay married. Because we never taught our young folks to be responsible when they were 13 or 14. We thought those years were, well, that's just playful years. When are they going to stop playing? They're 22 years old now and they're not quit playing. It boggles my mind how you meet somebody in their 20s and 30s who are still playing video games. They're gamers online, that's your life? Anyway, that's not the message, but I feel good about preaching about it. I want to say tonight too, this is another freebie. The Bible says that the generation that's rebellious is marked by their sarcasm, their hatred with their words. It says, whose teeth are as swords and their jaw teeth as knives. Now, we in our church have a lot of sarcastic people as adults, and I'm guilty of that more probably than anybody else. Except for, but we got to be careful as adults too. How much sarcasm? It's amazing. Now watch. I'm going to challenge you something. When's the last time that you had a conversation with somebody that was just a conversation about how things are going without sarcasm? What happens is our kids see that, and they think that's this way we ought to talk to each other, and then they use that same conversation toward adults. Because the idea is, well, if adults can do it, we can do it. And by the way, some of you knuckleheads of parents believe that too. Let me tell you something. There was a way that my parents talked that if you talked that way, they'd knock your head off. So, well, if they do it, my parents would say, I'm the adult here. You will respect adults and authority. Now, I'm not excusing how adults sometimes behave. What I'm saying is that there ought to be a level of expectation, and we ought to be careful as adults how we talk in front of our kids if we want them to talk that way. But I'm surprised that oftentimes teenagers today, when you can't hardly talk to them without a level of sarcasm that almost wants to make you punch them in the face. It's hard to have a conversation with a teenager just, hey, how are things going? How's your day going? Without some kind of smart remark. And some kind of dig or comeback. And so God said that's a mark of a rebellious generation. And I'm not mad tonight. I'm preaching tonight how to protect your life, young people. How to protect your life. And so we find that God places a high priority in how we treat our parents. Now, God established the importance of how you honor your parents with the beginning of the world. Look with me at Exodus chapter 20. I guess one thing that bothers me today is the level of hardness among young people. You know, it's hard sometimes, it's difficult to find young folks that have an innocent, joyful countenance about them, their happy countenance. They have joy in their heart. They love serving God. They love getting up and singing and participating. They love this. No matter where they're having a good time, among a lot of young folks, there's an edge about them. There's on the very surface, there's an anger about them, just a bitterness that's already on the surface already as a young person. And that bothers me as an adult. Listen, that's what's to come years later. Wait until you're 80 to do that. I almost expect it when you're 80. You've been through a lot of junk. But really, when you're 16 years old, what have you been through that causes that countenance? I don't understand that. I'm not making a lie to what some folks go through, but I believe that television and movies and these new social devices have done more damage to our young people than we'll ever imagine until they become the next generation leading our country in our churches. We're going to see an awful big change because of that. In Exodus chapter 20, we see verse number 12. Here we have the Ten Commandments, and God gives the Ten Commandments here of how He wants us to live our lives. In the fifth one, He says, verse number 12, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Then it goes, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt commit adultery, thou shalt not steal. I really believe that God gives the Ten Commandments in an order of importance. They're all important, but I think that God gave them a level of importance. And above killing and above committing adultery and above stealing, God says, honor your father and your mother. I believe this, if you honor your father and your mother, you're most likely never going to steal or kill, commit adultery. I believe that if you look at people's lives and you've been examining their lives, wouldn't that be, that kind of living began with dishonoring mom and dad. And so tonight God places a very high importance upon honoring your parents. And he made that not just in the Old Testament, but also the New Testament. Look at me at Deuteronomy 21 as well. Deuteronomy 21. Go to the right at a few books of the Bible. Leviticus, and then there's what, Numbers? Deuteronomy, chapter 21. Verse number 18, page 239 in your Schofield Bibles. For the lad, if you're listening, that's for you.
Thank you, preacher.
Look at verse number 18. If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him, will not hearken unto them. See the course there, moms and dads? Rebellion is met with chastening, not rewards. You don't give cell phones to a rebellious teenager. I don't get it, but we do. You don't give cars to rebellious teenagers. Okay? Let's not reward rebellion. All right? This is all new stuff to people. Like, whoa, I'm in a cult. This is a cult. This is a cult church. You said, I'm the worst cult leader there ever was. Look at verse number 19. Then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him, bring him out to the elders of the city on the gate of this place. And they shall say unto the elders of the city, this is our son. This our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He's a glutton and a drunkard. He lays around all day long. He eats our food and he drinks. He's rebellious. He's stubborn. He will not grow up. He'll not behave. He'll not be responsible. Verse 21, and all the men of his city shall stone him with stones that he die. So shall thou put away evil from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. Now, thank God tonight that that's not part of the laws of our land today, because this preacher would be dead. Right? Don't look at me that way, you pious hypocrites. Some of you be dead as well. Okay? There'd be a big pile out there. Who are those? Those are the Baptist kids. Okay? Well, I want you to see the importance, the level of importance that God places upon it. God says, listen, if you have a son or daughter that's rebellious and will not listen to you, will not heed and submit, and they're rebellious, and they'll not grow up, they'll not live right. Here's your action. After you chasten them and try to correct them, they'll not submit to you, they'll not get right with you, they'll not get right with God. Take them to the elder of the city and have them stoned. Have them stoned. Let them die. That fear may come upon. You know why there's very little fear? You know what? I'm not a perfect parent. No, I'm not saying that my kids are perfect. My kids are far from perfect, and some of you know that, and you're not afraid to share it with anybody else. But you know, when my boys, in the time of bouncing this, he had a bunch of kids. All you got to do is just beat the first couple of them. You know, and they'll complain about it. They're like, we were the worst. We even got the worst spankings. But if you just beat the first couple of them to half to death, the other ones will say, we don't want nothing to do with that. Why? It causes a fear. And by the time we get to the younger ones, we're told, so worn out anyway. It's like, oh, we don't even care now. Stone that kid. We got three more anyway. No, Jonas, we're not going to stone you. You'll probably stone yourself. I was sleeping. I'm sorry. That wasn't nice. It was a hair funny, but I'm sorry. Was it? Should have been making fun at your expense. I try to have humor. I shouldn't. That's a level of sarcasm we shouldn't approach, right? All right. You forgive me? Huh? All right. I have to wash my bedroom door now tonight. I was sleeping. Jonas. Well, here's not what I want you to see. I want you to see the importance that God placed upon it, young folks. Now, this is a serious thing. And God said that rebellion should be met with chastening. If that wasn't fixed, then rebellion should be met with death, stoning. That's God's law. And so we find here a level of importance that God places upon honoring your parents. Now, Jesus Christ reinforced this himself. Look at me at Mark chapter 7. Everybody has, you know, every carnal believer or liberal has this idea that Jesus Christ came to license lasciviousness, you know. This license lust. Hey, if you just, as long as you love me, do what you want to do. He did not come to do that. Many things that Jesus, that God had stated in the Old Testament, Christ reinforced New Testament. In fact, sometimes he even raised the bar. You say, listen, you know, you've lived for so long that, you know, if you commit adultery, that's sin. But I would tell you, if you look on a woman in lust, you commit adultery. He said, the Bible says, thou shalt not murder. But if you hate somebody, if you hate your brother, you're guilty of murdering your heart. And so Christ didn't lower the standard. He actually raised it because now he deals with the condition of your heart. You know, the Old Testament law deals with us conforming. And some of us are happy just conforming, but our heart's not been changed. And Christ said, I've come to change your heart, not just the outward man. But look at Mark chapter 7. Look at me at verse number 9. And he said unto them, full well you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whosoever curses father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, if a man shall say unto his father or mother, it is Corban, that is to say, it is a gift. But whatsoever thou mayest be profited by me, ye shall be free. And ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which you have delivered, and many such things as, like things you do ye. Now, what does that all mean? Well, I want you to notice, first of all, that Jesus Christ now is placing a high importance, reinforcing the command of honoring father and mother. And these Pharisees, these Jews had figured a way out. Now, honoring your father and mother, in this particular example, was as an adult child, you were to help, if your parents were struggling financially and needed some help, you came along and you helped them with what you had.
Right?
Right?
Yes, sir.
Okay? We're supposed to help our parents. When, you know, your parents for many years, sacrificed and paid for your health care and your food, your clothes, changed your diapers, and now one of these days it turns around the other direction. All right? But these Jews now, they had found a loophole in the law. What they would say is that, wait a minute, this, my money, my savings account, this thing here, I've dedicated it to the temple. It's Corban. Belongs to the Lord. And then they would be excused from using that finances, that money, taking care of their father and their mother if they had need, because it belonged to the Lord. And then these Jews would profit off of that. And God said this. He created that with cursing father and mother and dying to death. And he said this, you have made the word of God a money fact. You have violated the word of God. He said, become void in your life. And so we find that Jesus Christ didn't lower the standard. He reinforced how we treat our parents. Serving God is neither a viable, is never a viable reason to dishonor your parents. Look at me, young folks. I'm saying it again. Serving God is never a viable reason to dishonor your parents. The ministry comes behind taking care of your parents. In fact, Christ said, let me tell you something. You find anywhere else where Christ put an emphasis on that, on anything else. I'm all for sowing, but he didn't say, hey, if you don't pass out tracts, let them die to death. But he didn't reinforce how we treat our parents. Now, I'm all for sowing and knocking on doors and praying and all those things. I'm for those things. But we have today in our churches today, in our world today, we have lowered the importance of how we treat our parents, and we are seeing a generation suffer for it. Listen, when you disconnect from your father and your mother and your grandparents, it does not help your family. It hinders your family. We have not realized yet, you know, there was a day and age when you grew up, you stayed close to mom and dad. And now, in the last few generations, our fingers are being spread all over the place. And I really believe there's going to be a negative consequence because of that in our future. And so when you dishonor your father and your mother, and you break off ties with your father and mother and your grandparents, there's not, in many ways, it doesn't help your family. It hurts your family. Because we need the gray hairs as our foundation to our families. And by the way, moms and dads, there are many things that your parents will do to help your children that you can't do. There are many times where a parent will talk to their child, and the child will get upset. They'll get a little bucky, but you get a grandma, pull a child to the side, and say, "Let me talk to you about something." And that grandma can oftentimes do more than mom and dad can. My grandma's approval or disapproval meant a whole lot more to me sometimes than my own parents' approval or disapproval. I didn't want to break her heart. Boy, my grandpa was a wise man. And so we've got to do the best that we can to keep our families together and utilize the wisdom, the maturity, and the help of grandparents. But now, grandparents, listen, we need your help. We need the kind, loving grandparents that are godly and spiritual, that love their parents, that love their children, love their grandchildren, and sacrifice for them, and be there, and be there for them. And so we find that God places a high level upon parents, and that Jesus Christ reinforces that. To dishonor your parents is to declare the Word of God has no effect in your life. When we dishonor our parents, we are just saying the Word of God has no effect in my, has not changed my life whatsoever. And I really see folks, let me tell you something, I've enjoyed the last few, several Saturdays when we have a great turnout on Saturday of sowing and knocking on doors. But I really see a whole church honor father and mother than the whole church knock on doors. I really would. How you treat your parents is vital to your future. Let me show you one last scripture tonight. We'll close with that. We'll get to some other parts next couple of weeks. All right? You all right? Let me show you something here. Look at John chapter 19. Some of you, if you're not careful, you're going to let this go on one ear and off the other. I know I'm not a gifted speaker. I know I stutter sometimes and wear my words together, and I apologize for that. I really want to do a good job communicating. But this topic is so important tonight. I really believe that some of the things I have dealt with in my years as an adult is a direct result of how I treated my father and my mother. I can't go back. I can't go back and change those things. And so as a wise pastor, I must then warn you as young people, wait a minute, God has attached a promise to this commandment. God has no other commandment like it in the Word of God. Because listen, if you say, "Preacher, I want a good life, honor your mother and your father. Preacher, I want to be successful in my life, I want to do good things in my life," then honor your father and mother, obey your parents. Ah! Yep, go ahead, see how that works out for you 20 years. Preacher, I want to marry a great man and have a great marriage. You know how you do that? Honor your dad right now. Promote your dad. Exalt your dad. Well, he's not, neither will your husband be. Now, for the first few years, you think, "Well, he's a great man, and I'm going to fix him to be a greater man." But when you realize you can't fix your man, you treat him like you treated your dad. You know what I watch? I watch this in a young lady, and I try to help my boys this way. If you find a young lady who will honor her father and love her father, almost to a fault where it's a blind love, no matter what he does, she loves him and honors him and speaks well of him, if she'll transfer that loyalty from her father to her husband, he has got it made. I mean, he's like, "Bring me a sandwich." And she's like, "Okay." You've got it. Now, don't abuse that. I thought it come across wrong. But he's got it made. If you watch a young man that will just honor his mother, and treat her kindly, and open the door for her, and speak kindly to her, and be affectionate toward her. I'll tell you something, you got to listen, ladies. That's the kind of guy, you know, "Well, I want the bad guy." Yeah, you're an idiot too, woman. "Well, yeah, the bad guys are cool guys." Yeah, until they leave you with three kids in an apartment somewhere. Yeah. So the next girl that likes the bad guy has your bad guy. Because yeah. Your bad guy don't know how to settle down and behave. Right. I'm really, This is not my area of expertise, because I have no idea why a young lady wants a bad guy. I don't understand it. I guess probably because no matter how bad a guy I tried to be, nobody wanted me. I had to be a good guy to get somebody. So I never was a good bad guy to get anybody. So that don't make sense, does it? But you don't want to say, young ladies, watch how a guy treats his mama. Now watch it. Look at John chapter 19. This is why I say this. Look at John 19, verse number 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleophas and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus, God in the flesh, when Jesus, therefore, on the cross, dying, saw his mother, the disciples standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Then he said to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. See, what a great verse to reinforce and illustrate the importance of honoring your father and your mother. Jesus Christ here, the Son of God, God the flesh, upon the cross, he was dying for the sins of all mankind. The sins of all mankind had been placed upon him. He had been made sin for us. He that knew no sin had made sin for us that we might be made righteous in him. He was dying in agony, but in this time of close to his death, he honors his mother by saying, John! He said, woman, behold thy son. He points to John. He says, John, behold thy mother. Now, by the way, Jesus Christ had brothers and sisters. Where were they? Many of them didn't believe until later on. They didn't believe Jesus Christ was the Messiah. So Christ, in his very dying hour, though he was God, said this, Mom, John's going to take care of you. John, take care of Mom. And from that very hour, John said, all right, Mary, you're coming home with me. I'm taking care of you. I'm going to honor the Lord. Let me tell you something. If Jesus Christ found it important to do that, what makes you think that you and I can mistreat our parents, treat them however we please? I get so tired of hearing about, well, my parents are wrong. Shut up. Shut up. Well, but, I understand that. But sometimes our parents have more integrity and character than we'll ever understand. Do you understand the sacrifice that parents have made over the years? Not just for young folks when they were teenagers, but for their adult children. The sacrifice that you one day will make. And parents, and I don't know of any parent that really wants to control their kids forever. We don't want to. It may seem that way. We don't want to. Fly! Fly! Hey, be a great young lady. Be a great young man. Serve God. We don't want you to always be under our thumb. But I believe every parent is deserving of thankfulness and respect. Honor and appreciation. And some of you young folks, you'll understand that when you get kids of your own, you spend long nights in prayer for your kids. You spend long nights sacrificing as they lay in bed sick with a fever, and you pray for them and you help them and say, God, please. You spend long nights praying as they make mistakes and make wrong choices in their life. It's amazing the sacrifice you make even financially for your children. And you young folks just expect it. Well, my parents got money, but you don't understand the sacrifice they've made to provide for your needs. Do you realize that generation right now, you got more stuff than any other generation in America has ever had. You've got more stuff in your bedroom than most people in third world countries have in their entire house. It's amazing the things we've got. And all God says to you is, listen, your job is this. Look up here, boys. Your job is this. Honor your parents and appreciate them. It'll impact the rest of your life. Look up here now. If you want to be well with you, you want to have a good job and a good career and a good marriage and raise good children, God said this, honor them, your father and your mother. I don't care how old you are, how smart you become, how successful you are in your life. There's never a time to dishonor your father or your mother. Never. I don't care what your parents have done, what they've said. There's never a time to dishonor. Listen, you may not agree with them, but you always should honor them and appreciate them. And not to set yourself up for your own children one day. Tell them to know that you. Well, my kids won't do that. Watch and see. Wait and see. When you flippantly dishonor your parents, you trade them now that when it comes time for them to stand on their own 2 feet, that's how they'll do to you. So that I'm not trying to be mean tonight, I'm not trying to be unkind or ugly or any of this thing, but young people tonight, I wish tonight that you would see what God sees from God's point of view. That to protect your life, he said, honor your parents, honor your authority, honor your father and mother. And by the way, young people, look up here too. That includes grandpa and grandma. Well, they ain't my parent. Grandpa and grandma are special people. How we treated that way. How we honored and thankful. Be careful how you treat your parents and your grandparents. And we'll talk more about that later on. I'm not mad tonight. Really, I'm not. I just think it's an important topic that we brush over. We wonder why then we get older. Why are we struggling? Well, how did you treat your parents? And so, if I can tonight, just encourage you once again, honor your parents. We show them, treat them with high regard, with reverence, and be thankful for what they've done. I think that every time they give a meal, you ought to say, thanks, Mom, for the meal. You ought to thank your dad for a place to sleep regularly. Thanks, Dad, for what you do for me. Thanks, Dad, for your sacrifice. Thanks, Dad, for buying us groceries. Thanks, Dad, for what you've given to me. Thanks, Dad, for my clothes, for putting me in school, for making me go to church. Thanks, Dad. Be thankful and honor them. Father, tonight we come to you closing. Lord, I don't know if I've hit the mark tonight or not, but Lord, I surely am burdened, Father, about this topic. And that, Lord, we live in the country, we live in a culture today that makes so little of father and mother. This idea that we just can live 18, 19, 20 years and just go about our business with no regard for our parents, to me, is baffling. And Lord, we're seeing the consequences of that. Now, God, please help our young folks tonight to see, Lord, the importance that you've placed upon mom and dad. May they live accordingly, Father, to that, regardless of what their parents have done or said. Lord, may we honor them, Lord, as you honored your mother. This we ask in your precious name we pray. Amen. Panel begins to play. Let's all stand together tonight. Invitation is going to be given. Tonight, if you come, would you come? Perhaps tonight there's going to be some young folks tonight coming to the altar and saying, God, help me honor my parents. Tonight, if you're not right with your parents, you ought to get right with your parents. If you have aught against them, bitterness against their heart, resentment, you ought to get things right. Get things right with them.